Our speaker today is Barbara Hansen. She's been a member here at WOLF since 2009. She's deeply interested in human behavior. Barbara? Okay, so I have to take responsibility for choosing the reading and the second hymn, and the first hymn, actually, too. I can see that hardly anybody doesn't know the battle hymn of the Republic. And we had to learn, I was in elementary school during World War II, and we learned all of these martial songs. And I never understood the words, his truth is marching on, or is it his troops are marching on? Because troops can march, but truth, you know, how does that march? So I'm really glad to get that straightened out. It's never too late. And as for the song, this is, you know, both of these are about how the urge for revenge is just part of life. And, you know, righteous rage crops up again and again. And so I'll be coming to these further on. But I thought I would start by telling you a story about my ex-husband. I was 17 when we met, 21 when we married, and 37 when we divorced. I would say that he was a wonderful person. Brilliant, talented, funny, original, but a terrible spouse. Critical, competitive, and sometimes just plain mean. After we split up, I rarely saw him, but we sometimes talked on the phone. When I got involved, he kept saying nothing good could come of it, because Nelson was 20 years older than me. Then all of a sudden, those criticisms stopped. Perhaps that was because he got involved with a woman named Joan, who was 20 years younger than him, a recent re-graduate. After a while, I heard a rumor that Pete and Joan were going to be married. I phoned Pete and asked him if it was true. He said it was. I said, I wish you had told me yourself instead of letting me find out from other people. He said, frankly, I don't care what you want. So we hung up and I thought, what a jerk. That was a hurtful thing to say. Sometime later, Pete phoned me. He said, Joan wants me to call you. I spent the first half of our wedding trip sick with stomach flu, and the second half Joan was sick with the same virus. We missed our connection on the flight back to Portland, and when we got to the airport here, our car wouldn't start. We finally got home, and the roof was leaking. Joan wants me to ask you to bless our marriage. Because we can't handle any more bad luck. Well, I was blown away, of course. All I could say was, I'm sorry about your bad experiences, and of course you have my blessing. When we hung up, I had a little V-shaped smile on my face, and I felt uplifted. There's a name for this feeling, Schadenfreude, a German word meaning satisfaction or pleasure at someone else's misfortune. I was tickled at the suggestion that I had that much power. At the same time, I really was sorry about their bad experiences. This is just one of many, many encounters with Schadenfreude, grudges, and revenge that I've had in my life, and I consider myself something of an expert on the subject. I chose this story because it has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and it offers a small sample of what we might call the dark side of remembering. It also illustrates that forgiveness is a lot easier if the other person asks for it. For me, this was a turning point in the divorce, even though technically Pete didn't apologize or admit he did anything wrong. Sometimes you can move on just because they've been suffering. In this case, the honeymoon from hell was more than enough. Gloating over someone else's misfortune is not exactly an approved form of joy, but I think there are degrees. Here's an example. I go to basketball games with Dave. Sometimes after an unfair call by the officials, the opposing player misses a free throw, and the crowd rejoices. I believe this is okay. However, I would think less of someone who rejoices when an opposing player actually gets injured. I believe in compassion and forgiveness, so I'm not proud of the grudging side of myself. For many people, this part of their life is kept secret because of social disapproval. Indeed, many religions consider schadenfreude, grudges, and revenge to be sins, or at least not congruent with valuing every human life. Nevertheless, I believe these experiences are universal, and I think everyone here knows what I'm talking about. We're not doing these disapproved behaviors to be nasty, but because we hunger and thirst for justice. Our second hymn is an example. The Battle Hymn of the Republic was written by a Unitarian, Julia Ward Howe, who is a pacifist and an abolitionist. She perceived that instead of slavery ending, it was threatening to increase. So she abandoned pacifism and wrote a powerful song to encourage Union soldiers to view themselves as instruments of God's judgment. And let me contrast my annoying divorce experience with today's reading from Psalm 137. It's one thing if your ex disrespects you. It's something else if your enemy destroys your holy city and takes you into captivity. And yet our reactions have something in common. I blame the amygdala, which is a primitive part of the brain that helps us learn from unpleasant experiences. It seems as if any show of disrespect erodes trust and triggers an alarm that all kinds of bad things can happen. I've worked hard in my life to find ways to stand up for justice without getting bogged down in revenge. I've studied great literature. I've studied psychotherapy. I've studied mediation and meditation. Perhaps I've come to the point where my attitude is, come, let us reason together. And if you won't do that, I'll give you a dope slap just to get your attention. I look up to people with great souls who act with compassion and forgiveness. One of the things they have in common is they don't seem to worry about being powerless. They have a strong sense of being involved with something bigger than themselves, and they have faith that their humblest efforts will have an effect toward healing the world. I believe there are people like that right here in this congregation. Whether we're powerless or powerful, holding a grudge takes energy. The new year is a good time to ask ourselves two questions. This is also known as the two-step anger management program. One, what do I want? We talk a lot about what we don't want, but what do I want? What do I really want? Two, is this a good way to get what I want? In general, punishing other people is not a good way to get what you want. Remember the old pirate saying, the floggings will continue until morale improves. Personally, I'm getting to the point where it just takes too much of my limited energy to hold a grudge. Let's think about New Year's Day. It's always been one of my favorite holidays, a chance to wrap things up from the past 12 months and consider how to improve in the future. I regret that our culture can't do better with this holiday. Here are our customs. Stay up late, drink too much, watch football on TV, make resolutions and then do the opposite within 24 hours. To me, this is an example of why we are UUs. We know our prevailing culture is flawed. so we band together to build something better. If it were up to me, the week around New Year's would be considered days of awe, when we nurture the spark of our precious lives and ask for forgiveness from anyone we have harmed. To show you that I mean what I say, here is an offer from me to anyone at WOOF. If I have disappointed you or let you down in any way, I invite you to let me know in person, by email, or whatever way is comfortable for you. I promise to listen with an open heart and make amends as best I can. And now, in the spirit of the new year, I invite you to join me in a responsive reading, number 637 in our gray hymnal. This is called A Litany of Atonement by Robert Eller Isaacs. And the congregation reads the italic part. For remaining silent when a single voice would have made a difference, for each time that our fears have made us rigid and inaccessible, for each time we have struck out in anger without just cause, for each time that our greed has blinded us to the needs of others, for the selfishness which sets us apart and alone, for falling short of the admonitions of the Spirit, for losing sight of our unity, for those and for so many acts, both evident and subtle, which have fueled the illusion of separateness, thank you.